Carrie was 42, and his slight frame and thatch of chestnut hair made him seem startlingly young for the office. At his moment of accession, both humbling and exalting, the three people he loved most stood near. His mother, Mary Kilcannon, Clayton Slade, his closest friend and the new chief of staff, and his fiancée, Laura Costello, a broadcast journalist who enhanced the aura of youth and vitality which was central to Carrie's appeal. When Carrie Kilcannon enters a room, a commentator had observed, he's in technicolor, and everyone else is in black and white. Despite that, Carrie knew with regret, he came to the presidency a divisive figure. His election last November had been bitter and close. Only at dawn of the next morning, when the final count in California went narrowly to Carrie, had Americans known who would lead them. Few, Carrie supposed, were more appalled than Chief Justice Roger Bannon. It was an open secret that at 79, Bannon had long wished to retire. For 8 years under Carrie's Democratic predecessor, the Chief Justice had presided grimly over a sharply divided court, growing so pale and desiccated that he came, in Carrie's mind, to resemble parchment. Seemingly all that had sustained him was the wish for a Republican president to appoint his successor, helping maintain Bannon's conservative legacy. In a rare moment of incaution, conveyed to the press, Bannon had opined at a dinner party that Carrie was ruthless, intemperate, and qualified only to ruin the court. The inaugural's crowning irony was that the Chief Justice was here, obliged by office to effect the transfer of power to another Democrat, this one the embodiment of all Bannon loathed. Whoever imagined that ours was a government of laws and not men, Carrie thought wryly, could not see Bannon's face. Yet he was here to do his job, trembling with cold, and Carrie could not help but feel sympathy and a measure of admiration.